Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 12, The Perfect Society, The Four Spiritual Classes, Text Number 16. Evam Vido Brahmachari, Vanaprasto Yadhir Grihi, Charan Vidita Vijnana, Param Brahma Digachati. Evam Vida. In this way, Brahmachari. Well, the one is a Brahmachari. Vanaprastha. Or one is in the Vanaprastha ashram. Yati. Or in the sannyas ashram. Grihi. Or in the Grihastha ashram. Charan. By practice of self-realization and understanding of the absolute truth. Vidita Vijnana. Fully conversant with the science of the absolute truth. Param. The supreme. Brahma, the absolute truth. Adigachati, one can understand. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. By practicing in this way, whether one is in the Brahmachari ashram, Grihastha ashram, Vanaprastha ashram, or Sannyasa ashram, one must always realize the all-pervading presence of the Supreme Lord. For in this way it is possible to understand the absolute truth. Purport. This is the beginning of self-realization. One must understand how Brahman is present everywhere and how he is acting. This education is called Brahma Jignasa and is a real concern of human life. Without such knowledge, one cannot claim to be a human being. Rather, he remains in the animal kingdom. It is said, Saeva Gokara. Without such knowledge, one is no better than a cow or an ass. The rest of this chapter, practically speaking, is just verse. There's no purports. So, as a matter of fact, one translation is longer than some of the purports. I'm just going to read. So you, in case you're thinking of taking the Vanaprastha ashram or such, then you could be prepared. O King, I shall now describe the qualifications for a Vanaprastha one who is retired from family life. By rigidly following the rules and regulations for the Vanaprastha, one can easily be elevated to the upper planetary system known as Mahaloka. Does anyone know what happens in Mahaloka? What they do there? Yes. I think some of the devotees here will be elevated there. You can do your Nrisimha Yajna there every Saturday. But they do it so nicely that Krishna actually appears in the sacrifice. I don't know how often Krishna appears in our sacrifice here, but there Krishna actually personally comes. But here, this is the qualifications to become elevated to Mahaloka, what you have to do. Luckily, we have a forest nearby, so in case you want to practice, it's available. Person in the Vanaprastha life should not eat grains grown by tilling the fields. A little difficult to know where the grains come from around here, but it shouldn't come from tilling of the fields. He should not eat grains that have grown without tilling of the field, but not fully ripe. Nor should a Vanaprastha eat grains cooked in fire. Good luck. You gotta soak the grains before you can eat them. Indeed, if you eat only fruit ripened by the sunshine, get pretty hungry around here. Avanaprastha should prepare cakes to be offered and sacrificed from fruits and grains grown naturally in the forest. Are there any fruits and grains growing in the forest around here? There are some fruits. Have you eaten any of them? Have you tried some of them? What's that?
Some fruits are growing in the
forest. Are they edible?
Yeah.
What kind of fruits?
Blueberries.
And
strawberries.
Strawberries. Oh. What's that?
Cherries.
Cherries. Good cherries? Oh. What's that? You have to be out in the forest picking them for 3 hours before you can get a handful. Anyhow, that's what you got to get in if you want to be a vanaprastha, you know. Little austerity. When he obtains some new grains, he should give up the old stock of grains. A vanaprastha should prepare a thatched cottage or take shelter of a cave in a mountain, only to keep the sacred fire. But he should personally practice enduring snowfall, wind, fire, rain, and the shining of the sun. Sounds pretty austere, doesn't it? Anyone prepared to go out in the forest and find some cave there and just keep the fire there and go out in the rain and the snow and the wind? And a vanaprastha should wear matted locks of hair on his head and let his body hair, nails, and mustache grow. He should not cleanse his body of dirt. He should keep a water pot, deerskin, and rod. Wear the bark of a tree as a covering and use garments colored like fire. Probably get arrested if you put you in a nice padded cell. Being very thoughtful about a process, you remain in the forest for 12 years, 8 years, 4 years, 2 years, or at least 1 year, or in our case, half a day. He should behave in such a way that he will not be disturbed or troubled by too much austerity. Sounds like a lot of us. When because of disease or old age, he is unable to perform his prescribed duties for advancing spiritual consciousness, for study of the Vedas, he should practice fasting, not taking any food. He should probably place the fire element in his own self, and in this way give up bodily affinity, by which one thinks the body to be one's self or one's own. One should gradually merge the material body into the five elements, earth, water, fire, air, and sky. Purport, the body is an effect of a cause, namely the five material elements, earth, water, fire, air, and sky. In other words, one should know perfectly well that the material body is nothing but a combination of the five elements. This knowledge constitutes merging of the material body and the five material elements. Merging into Brahmana's perfect knowledge means understanding perfectly that one is not the body but a spiritual soul. So it's not like you kind of like merge your elements. Oh my God. But actually it's a question of understanding how this body is nothing different from the other elements in this world. A sober, self-realized person who has full knowledge submerge the various parts of the body into their original sources. Disappearing. Where'd he go? He merged. The body, the holes in the body are caused by the sky. The process of breathing is caused by the air, the heat of the body is caused by fire, and semen, blood, and mucus are caused by water. The hard substances like skin, muscle, and bone are caused by earth. In this way, all the constituents of the body are caused by various elements. They should be merged again into those elements. To be self-realized, one must understand the original source of the various elements of the body. The body is a combination of skin, bone, muscle, blood, semen, urine, stool, heat, breath, and so on, all which all come from earth, water, fire, air, and sky. One must be well conversant with the sources of all the bodily constituents. Then one becomes a self-realized person, or Atmavan, who knows the self. There's only a couple of verses left. Thereafter, the object of speech, along with the sense of speech, the tongue, should be bestowed upon fire. Craftsmanship and the two hands should be given to the demigod Indra. The power of movement in the legs should be given to Lord Vishnu. Sensual pleasure along with the genitals should be bestowed upon Prajapati. The rectum and the power of evacuation should be bestowed in its proper place unto Mrityu. The oral instruments along with the sound vibration should be given to the deities presiding over the directions. The instrument of touch, along with the sense objects of touch, should be given to Vayu. Form with the power of sight should be bestowed upon the sun. The tongue, along with the demigod Varuna, should be bestowed upon water. And the power of smell, along with the two Ashwini Kumara demigods, should be bestowed upon the earth. The mind, along with all material desires, should be merged in the moon demigod. All the subject matters of intelligence, along with the intelligence itself, should be placed in Brahma, Lord Brahma. False ego, which is under the influence of material modes of nature, and which induces one to think, I am this body, and everything connected with this body is mine, should be merged, along with material activities, in Rudra, predominating deity of false ego. Material consciousness, along with the goal of thought, should be merged in the individual living being, and the demigods acting under the modes of material nature should be merged, along with the perverted living being, into the supreme being. The earth should be merged in water, water in the brightness of the sun, this brightness into the air into the sky, the sky into the false ego into the total material energy, the total material energy into the unmanifested ingredients, the pradhana feature of the material energy, and at last, the ingredient feature is the material manifestation into the super soul. Well, usually we don't say, we say don't merge, but this time it's an exception. You have to learn how to merge. When all the material designations have thus merged into their respective material elements, the living beings are all ultimately completely spiritual, being one in quality with the Supreme Being, should cease from material existence as flames cease when the wood in which they are burning is consumed. When the material body is returned to its various material elements, only the spiritual being remains. The spiritual being is Brahman, has equal quality with Param Brahman. That's in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 7th canto, 12th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Perfect Society, Four Spiritual Classes. So we've ended with the material consciousness disappearing, and the only thing left is spiritual consciousness. Aham Brahmasmi. And the next chapter is very similar. It's about the behavior of a perfect person. And actually there are some purports, but I'm just going to read the summary, and then we're going to stop there, because otherwise there's just more and more verses to read. Chapter 13, The Behavior of a Perfect Person. This 13th chapter describes the regulative principles for sannyasis. It also describes the history of a avaduta. It concludes with a description of perfection for the student in spiritual advancement. Who is Narada Muni talking to? What's that? Are you sure? If you're going to make a guess, you might as well say it with conviction. Yudhisthira! Because if you don't say it with conviction, then at least, even if you get it wrong, at least he said something with conviction. Yeah, Yudhisthira, he's talking to Yudhisthira. This whole canto is about Narada Muni speaking to Yudhisthira. Narada Muni has been describing the symptoms of various ashrams and varnas. Now in this chapter, he specifically describes the regular principles to be followed by sannyasis. After retiring from family life, one should accept the status of vanaprastha, in which he must formally accept the body as his means of existence, but gradually forget the bodily necessities of life. After vanaprastha life, having left home, one should travel to different places as a sannyasi. Without bodily comforts and free from dependence on anyone, with respect to bodily necessities, one should travel everywhere, wearing almost nothing or actually walking naked. I don't think that would go over very well around here. Without association with ordinary human society, one should beg alms and always be satisfied in himself. One should be a friend to every living entity and be very peaceful in Krishna consciousness. A sannyasi should travel alone in this way, not caring for life or death, waiting for the time when he will leave his material body. He should not indulge in unnecessary books or adopt professions like astrology, nor should he try to become a great orator. He should also give up the path of unnecessary argument and should not depend on anyone under any circumstances. He should not try to allure people into becoming his disciples just so that the number of his disciples may increase. He should give up the habit of reading many books as a means of livelihood. And he should not attempt to increase the number of temples and mosques or monasteries. When a sannyasi thus becomes completely independent, peaceful and equipoised, he can select the destination he desires after death and follow the principles by which to reach that destination. Although fully learned, he should always remain silent like a dumb person and travel like a restless child. In this regard, Narada Muni described a meeting between Prahlad and a saintly person who had adopted the mode of life of a python. In this way, he described the symptoms of a Paramahansa. A person who has attained the Paramahansa stage knows very well the distinction between matter and spirit. He is not at all interested in gratifying the material senses, for he is always deriving pleasure from devotional service to the Lord. He is not anxious to protect his material body. Being satisfied with whatever he obtains by the grace of the Lord, he is completely independent of material happiness and distress, and thus he is transcendental to all regular principles. Sometimes he adopts severe austerities, and sometimes he accepts material opulence. His only concern is to satisfy Krishna, and for that purpose he can do anything and everything without reference to the regular principles. He is never to be equated with materialistic men, nor is he subject to the judgment of such men. Okay, so I'll stop there. Any questions? Khala? Yes? Yeah, that's what I said. Thank Krishna for the Hare Krishna mantra.
Yeah.
Otherwise, how many of us are prepared to go into the forest or walk around naked and not care about alone through everywhere you go, not caring whether you live or die? Yes.
Yes. My question regarding to reading Srimad Bhagavatam is sometimes I cannot see how I can relate this to my life, and then I try to see around me devotees who are practicing bhakti yoga, and they refer to Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Some of the things here are, I don't know how to apply them in real life.
I'm today, surprised.
Yeah, today we are...
I thought you were prepared to become a vanaprastha.
Yeah, I think it's impossible for me to become a vanaprastha.
What about a sannyasi?
Oh, Hare Krishna. Yeah, I'd rather have a spiritual master that is sannyasi than to be myself sannyasi.
Yeah, this is obviously, this is our goal. We don't relate to it now. We may think it's actually, this is just too much. But actually, it's our goal. But we achieve that goal through the chanting of Hare Krishna and through sadhana bhakti. We don't directly practice. We're not directly practicing the varnashram system for the most part. We're practicing chanting the holy name, which eventually should elevate us to the platform where we realize Krishna, we realize the super soul, and we realize we're not this body. And then we could be able to practice this without any difficulty. But right now, because we're not purely chanting the holy name, we haven't purely realized Krishna or the super soul or our own self, and therefore it seems impossible. But it becomes possible as we make advance in spiritual life. Even without executing vanaprastha or sannyasa, even grihastha, or the ideal brahmachari, just by chanting Hare Krishna offenselessly, one can get all the results, including all these results of all these ashrams and varnas.
Hare Krishna, this is manageable.
Yeah, chanting. At least we can do that. We take prasadam too. And maybe sometimes dance when we're in the mood. And then we'll become ideal vanaprasthas or potentially. We don't have to necessarily exhibit it because it wouldn't be very favorable for our preaching. If all the sannyasis had to walk around with very little clothes or naked, our movement wouldn't last very long. Or the vanaprasthas, they went into the forest and they wore bark, trees of bark, and didn't cut their nails or their hair or had beards. Our movement would be closed down very shortly. So therefore, we try to cultivate the essence of spiritual life to realize Krishna. And by doing that, we'll realize everything else. Edeshu, jagneshu, dipasu, chaiva, dineshu, yet punya palam pradivyam, adhyatman, yet karma palam pradivyam. This is the end of the 8th chapter. The person who accepts the path of devotional service is not bereft of the results derived from studying the Vedas, performing sacrifices, undergoing austerities, giving charity, pursuing philosophical and fruitive activities. Simply by performing devotional service, attains all these, at the end he reaches the supreme eternal abode. Anything else?
Hare Krishna. So, to overcome material bondage, as I understood, it's enough to chant offenselessly. It's not needed for pure chanting.
What's that?
So, offenselessly it's enough. So, we don't need to come to the level of pure chanting to
overcome.
What do you think
pure chanting means? Pure chanting means offenseless chanting. You can't have there's different stages of offensive chanting, but first stage is just offensive chanting. Nam, Shuddha Nam. That means pure chanting of the name. And then there may be different elements of that, such as Bhava Nam, Prema Nam, whatever. But Shuddha Nam, pure chanting, means liberation, past liberation. It means we've entered into the actual devotional service, chanting. We chant with love and devotion. In other words, when we chant, Krishna is there and we experience his unlimited love and devotion. And in his presence, in the presence of Srimati Radharani and her associates, then our natural love and devotion becomes manifested spontaneously. Now we're chanting, but just the chanting means that we're trying at least, and Krishna takes that into account. May not be feeling our love and devotion, or Krishna's love and devotion, or it's Shmadurara, but because we're trying, Krishna takes that as is love and devotion in some way. Krishna is very kind. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.